Well, one of the sections of the Bible that I often turn to when I need inspiration for messages is found in Matthew chapter 6. I know you've read this section of Scripture hundreds of times, maybe even thousands of times. And it's one of those sections of Scriptures that even those that have kind of a maybe a nominal religious background, even they have heard this section. It's the section that is commonly referred to as the model prayer. Now, the reason that I often go here is the fact that it's actually an extremely interesting section of Scripture, at least to me personally. And each time you read over it, you can look at it from a different perspective and maybe come across it from a slightly different viewpoint. And at first, it seems like a very simple and easy to understand section of Scripture, and of course it is. But layered inside this prayer framework is a complex thought process that really touches on core fundamental beliefs of every Christian. I wanted to tackle specifically the phrase towards the end of the model prayer, but before we get there, let's turn back to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. This is a companion section of Scripture to Matthew, but I wanted to start here to get a little bit of the context. Now, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It's a paraphrase translation. Again, Luke chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. It says, "Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" Verse 2, Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." Now, we'll stop here just for a moment. Here, Luke brings out that his disciples were asking how to pray. They wanted to know some of the mechanics of how to do it. They needed some guidance and the best way to how to communicate with the Father in prayer. And then Jesus, of course, responds and gives them a template. And we know, of course, that this isn't a word-for-word prayer that we should just say over and over again. We have many examples of Jesus Christ praying very fervently, saying different things at different times based on what was on his mind and what he was going through. So the point of this model prayer is to just outline a framework. And it's also to understand the context and a structure of how to pray. So let's head back to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read it in Matthew because it's a little bit more complete than some of the other companion verses. And it's probably the one that most people have memorized. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 9 through 13. 9 through 13 of Matthew 6, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Verse 13. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, your translation may end this with, "but deliver us from the evil one." Some translations like the NIV and the New Living, they cut it out, but most others include it. The phrase I like to focus on is the start of verse 13, where it says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And again, your translation might render it slightly different. So the transliteration versions like the NIV or the NLT, they soften it a bit. But the vast majority of the translations say it the same way. Do not lead us into temptation. And if you quickly read through this, it sounds as though Christ, through this model prayer example, is asking God not to lead him into temptation. Or that as part of our model prayer framework, that we should also be asking God not to lead us into temptation. So the obvious question, of course, then should come up. Does God lead us into temptation? Is this possible? Would God do this? Would he dangle sin in front of us to see how we react? Is he going to set up a scenario filled with sin to see how we handle it? Is that the case? Well, the point for my sermonette today is quite simple. No, God never tempts mankind or influences us in any way to sin. We do know that God is very interested in our response to sin. God does want us to withstand the evil one and his sinful distractions, but God himself does not tempt anyone to sin. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll see very clearly here that God is not the source of sinful temptations. James chapter 1, We're going to read verses 12 through 15, James 1, 12 through 15. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." God and sin are incompatible. They cannot coexist with one another. God does not do the tempting. He doesn't put us in a sinful scenario to see how we'll respond, and he certainly doesn't dangle sin in front of us to see what we'll do. He doesn't work that way. Let's continue on, because James chapter 1 does continue to reveal some of those sources of temptation. Verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Our own human nature tempts us to be drawn away. You'll remember this verse back in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 through 10. You don't have to turn back there. That's another memory scripture. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." In addition to our human nature, we know that Satan and his demons are a key source of temptation, of course. Satan tempts all of us in any way that he can. You'll remember that early on in the recorded history of Christ's ministry, one of the first things that Satan does is try to isolate Christ and tempt him into sinning. In fact, Satan is often called the tempter. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, again, you don't have to turn back there, 1 Thessalonians 3, 5, it says, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter," talking about Satan, "the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain." Now, Satan has been tempting others from the beginning, be it drawing to himself a third of the angels, tempting Adam and Eve in the garden, all the way up to tempting us here today and into the future until he's put away. So if our human nature and Satan the devil are ones that tempt us with sin or sinful situations, then what does the verse in the model prayer refer to? So just as a recap, that original verse that we're focusing on says, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Well, a Beyond Today article by Gary Petty, had this to say, and I think it sums it up quite nicely. I'm going to quote here from Gary Petty. It says, quote, "We are next instructed in the model prayer to ask, 'Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' The wording in the first part of this verse can be misleading, since God tempts no one. The Greek word translated temptation here would be more accurately rendered as trial or test, as it is in the New Revised Standard Version, which words it as this: 'Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one.'" Continued on here with a quote, says, "The intent of Christ's words is twofold. First, that we should understand that we have an unseen spiritual enemy, Satan the devil, from whom we need to ask God for his protection and help. And second, that we might be humble and teachable enough to learn our lessons now so that we don't have to be put through sore trials to be corrected," end quote. Well, let's turn to James chapter 4 for our last scripture, James chapter 4. Read verses 7 and 8, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This could be another way to look at the model prayer verse as we ask God to help us from the temptations that Satan tries to snare us with. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Well, in conclusion, the model prayer provides us a framework or a simplified, structured template that we can use and base our own prayers off of. And while it may be very easy and straightforward, the model prayer is actually very rich and contains quite a bit of depth to every verse. And even though it may appear to be simple, it actually strikes at the very core of our fundamental beliefs as a Christian. And reading over quickly, it might appear that we need to ask God not to tempt us with sin, But we know that God never tempts us with sin, that God is completely incompatible with sin. Instead, we need to ask God for deliverance from those influences that do try and lead us astray so that we can stay close to God in his perfect way of life.